Greetings and a warm welcome to the debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Thank you for joining us in this show. Nearly 300 Palestinians have been killed in 2018 and many more got maimed for life by Israeli gunfire. Yet Palestinians have pushed ahead with regular protests along the so-called buffer zone every Friday and more recently Mondays too. Now, with the measures Mr. Trump's White House has taken against them and in favor of Israel, Palestinians no more regard Washington as a qualified mediator. Iran's leader believes that resistance has been key to the victories that Palestinians have achieved in recent years. Palestinians say that they are adamant to continue to put up resistance in the face of Israeli aggression and expansionism. And Tel Aviv remains defiant to international condemnations of its atrocities against the Palestinians. What has made Palestinians keep up with resistance more strongly than before, and what's the prospect of peace and Palestinian statehood? Okay, now with that report, let's begin tonight's debate. I'll start with Professor of Political Science with Bersait University, Saad Nimr, who's joining us from Ramallah. Good to have you with us, sir. 70 years after the creation of Israel, Palestinians continue to resist the occupation of their land. How significant is this weapon for the Palestinian people?
Good evening to you and to all your viewers. As a matter of fact, we've been in this struggle for the last 100 years, since 1917, after the Balfour Declaration was announced, and the Zionist movement started building its own settlements, and they started executing their program in Palestine. The Palestinian struggle started. Don't forget, even before 1948, the 1936 revolution, as well as 29 Intifada, and lots of other events happened after 1917. So it's not quite new for us for the last 100 years. But after the establishment of the State of Israel till today, definitely there is a kind of an escalation in the resistance, because there is an escalation of the measures done by the Israeli occupation after 1967. And especially now, their intention to control almost 61% of the West Bank, which is considered as Area C, and continue to build settlements and seizing Jerusalem, and also taking over all the Palestinian resources in this region. Definitely that would be considered as an escalation against the Palestinian. This last year, we are talking about 5,000 houses were demolished only in the last year. We are talking about more than 300, 400 Palestinians were killed. Out of those, 57 were children, were killed. 6,000 Palestinians were arrested. These statistics only for the last year, 2018, the existing year. And because of that, definitely the Palestinian would be also going to go for more and more resistance to encounter these Israeli measures against them.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Nimr, since the grassroots, Great Return March movement began in March 2018, men, women, and children, they have been braving Israeli army sniper fire to demand their internet-recognized right to return home where they were expelled by Israel. And where is this spirit of resistance, originating from, which is continuing to inspire generations of Palestinians despite all the odds?
Well, as a matter of fact, when we are talking about the situation in Palestine, definitely Palestinians are thinking of the return. Let's take it bit by bit for that matter. To start with, the peace process is failure. The peace process, which was built on the essence of two-state solution, quite obvious that the Israeli had definitely ruined this idea of the two-state solution, and there is no way now that people are thinking really of two-state solution, and it became, as we said many times on your TV, it became a two-state illusion, rather. So for the Palestinians, Palestinians, now they are trying to find some other alternative. If we are going to talk about the one state, then definitely the return of the Palestinian refugees, 6 million of them, to be allowed to go back to Palestine, to their own property, and to be reinstalled, and to have be also compensated for the 60, 70 years of using this property by this state. So this is the right of the Palestinian, which is granted by the United Nations Resolution 194, as well as by the all other international and the human rights, which is considering that the return of the refugees is a must, usually, if that is possible at any moment.
Okay.
So the Palestinian are trying to go back to their homeland and to say that we want to go back to our homeland. That's the only thing that now Israel have to deal with that. They created this problem from the very beginning. They didn't solve it, and now they have to face the consequences.
Okay, we'll come to this, of course, later on the show. Now, joining us now is also another guest of ours, Mr. Michael Lane, who is the founder of American Institute for Foreign Policy. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. Welcome, Michael Lane. Michael, let me put the last question to you very briefly. Do Palestinians have any choice other than continuing their struggle?
I think they do, yes. And I think this is very important. The struggle has been going on for a number of years, and it doesn't really seem to be advancing the process in a way that I think anybody on the Palestinian side would really like. We have a disproportionate number of Palestinian deaths involved in the resistance compared to the number of Israeli deaths. We have a proud people. We have a people that have legitimate grievances that really don't have the firepower to press those grievances on the battlefield or through the resistance. In the past, today, and for the foreseeable future, armed resistance is just simply not going to be successful. That's the reality of the nature of the power of the two peoples that are embattled in this struggle. So I think the option that is available to the Palestinians is to sit down at the peace table, to sit down at the negotiating table, to present their grievances the way they have in the past, and to negotiate a settlement that is acceptable to both sides. If we continue the way we're going with nothing but an armed resistance, I fear that we're going to see nothing other than failure of the resistance and a disproportionate amount of pain and death being burdened by the Palestinian side.
But Michael Lane, they have already sat at the negotiating table several times, and they have reached nowhere, and the resistance have brought them some fruits that I will mention later on the show. Let's ask Saad Nimr, do you agree with Michael Lane that they have other way except in a struggle sitting at a negotiating table?
Absolutely not. I'm not agreeing with Mr. Michael, because sitting to the table with whom? Just give me an answer with whom. We have over 25 years of negotiations which had proven that the Israeli don't want to move one centimeter further. And now you have a government in the United States and a president in the United States who is giving the Israeli whatever they want without even any regard to the Palestinian needs and to the Palestinian even to be a fair negotiator or a fair broker by standing by Israel totally, and especially in the last year and 2 years after President Trump came around, Israel feels that they are absolutely free to do whatever they like. So negotiation with whom and on what ground? We tried that for the last 25 years. Now, for the second point, which is the resistance, yes, I do believe in the resistance, but not necessarily. If we are talking about a resistance, we are not two armies. We are not equal. We are people under occupation. People under occupation, they have not only the rights, but also they must resist this occupation. We resist the occupation in any kind we can find under our hands, such as the marches, which was in Gaza, peaceful marches. But what was the response by the Israeli? Instead, Mr. Michael, of blaming the victim, try to blame the one who is the one who is doing the atrocities. Blame the sniper instead of blaming the peaceful citizen who's doing a demonstration.
Okay, Michael Lane, your reaction?
Okay. Okay, there's a lot there that I can and will disagree with. The first part is, yes, we've had 25 years plus of negotiations, and we've gotten close a couple times. In fact, once with Yasser Arafat, we were so close to an agreement, and in the very end, even though the plan had been agreed to by the Israelis, Mr. Arafat walked away from the table and said, no can do. That was a missed opportunity. I believe we can recapture that opportunity. The problem is that there are elements within the Palestinian people who don't want a negotiated settlement. They believe firmly that this is God-given land to them, and they are entitled to it by religious, by tradition, and by history, and they're unwilling to negotiate at all. Well, the problem is the other side, the Israelis believe the exact same thing. They believe that the land is theirs, given to them by God and by tradition and by history. So if you have two sides that are unwilling to negotiate with each other, then you're only headed for annihilation. And I don't think that's the answer. The answer is a negotiated settlement. I believe that President Trump has in his back pocket to pull out at the appropriate moment the, quote, deal of the century. I know that there are elements among the Palestinians who absolutely oppose the deal of the century because, number one, they don't want a negotiated settlement. And number two, it's something that will force them to recognize the existence of the State of Israel in that area. But the only other answer to that is armed conflict that goes to the end. And the reality on the ground is that the Palestinians don't win that kind of armed conflict in today's circumstances. A negotiated settlement is where they can have their grievances addressed and win on most of their points.
Okay, Michael Lane, speaking of Palestinians' resistance, let me enumerate a number of gains that Palestinians' resistance have made. For instance, here it is. They have made some accomplishments recently. Only 48 hours after the recent flare-up in the Gaza Strip, the escalation, Israel called for a ceasefire. Previous aggressions used to take much longer. The UN General Assembly did not vote in favor of a U.S. resolution that tried to condemn Hamas for rocket attacks against Israel. Another point, Colombia decided to accord recognition to the Palestinian state, making it the 137th member of the UN to recognize Palestine. These have been all the successes that Palestinians have pulled off given their struggle. Let's have Mr. Nemer's comment on that first.
Well, yes, we are getting more and more recognition by more and more countries around the world because the world can see in a different eyes, not the American and the Israeli eyes, what's going on in the ground. I would like, you know, just to go quickly over a few points that Mr. Michael had mentioned.
Sure.
In 2000, Camp David negotiation between late Yasser Arafat and Ehud Barak, under the protection patronage of Bill Clinton period. No, I think that was a huge mistake, you know, because of Dennis Ross and Ehud Barak said that we offered the Palestinians 96% of the West Bank and they refused and Yasser Arafat refused. No, that's not true because they offered nothing. They offered nothing apart from pulling out of part of the West Bank. What about Jerusalem? They didn't want to negotiate Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem underneath and above. Jerusalem is for Israel. They didn't want to negotiate the refugees issue. They didn't want to negotiate most of the other settlements which was there. The borders, there was a huge problem about the borders. There was no agreement, not because Yasser Arafat didn't want to. They didn't offer anything. They thought that they might pressurize Arafat within 15 days to sign any kind of an agreement, and he refused, which is natural, because he's not going to give up the Palestinian rights only because he was under pressure at that time. Because he, from the very beginning, he said we should first have a pre-negotiation with teams to bring things up, and then we can bridge the gap between the two sides. But to bring him directly to a summit, upper summit, to end things, that is not absolutely correct.
Okay,
the other thing is...
Yes, go ahead, please, briefly.
The other thing is history. Don't go there, please, Michael. Don't go there. I don't care about, you know, any kind of history that you are mentioning or the Israeli are mentioning. What I know that we were uprooted from our own land. We were ethnically cleansed from our own land only in the last 70 years. I'm not talking about 3,000 years. Now forget about the history. We don't want to go there because also there is a huge problematic issue over the history there. So what I know that I was kicked out from my own house, my own land, my own property, and I was ethnically cleansed, living since then in refugee camps. That's what I know. And because of that, I need to look back at these ideas and things. The last point is Trump, the deal of the century. I think we know already what kind of deal of century they are talking about, since they started with two major points, which are the final status negotiation issues in the peace process. Jerusalem and the refugees. The stand on Jerusalem, I think now Trump had clear about it, that Jerusalem is for the Israeli, not for the Palestinians. So he took it out of the negotiation. And the issue of refugees, after the statement that refugees are only 40,000 or less instead of 6 million, I think it's quite clear. It's also taking this idea out of the negotiation. What left? Borders. The Israeli are saying we are taking all the area of 60%, which is the sea area.
Okay, so
nothing left for the negotiation.
We are running short of time. If you allow me, I'll put one more question, to one last question to both of you, and you have 30 seconds each. Michael Lane, Washington declared Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. This is what Mr. Trump's administration has done. How can they negotiate, you know, with the U.S. for negotiations? It closed the PLO diplomatic mission in the U.S. It cut funds to UNRWA, the UN refugee agency that provides aid to 5 million Palestinians expatriates, you know, among other discriminatory actions. Are these not reason enough for Palestinians to lose their trust and kind of try to stand on their own to resolve their conflict with Israel? 30 seconds.
I certainly understand the Palestinians' reticence to continue down the road, given the fact that President Trump has made the move to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and to move our embassy there. But President Trump was very, very careful to state that this move did not in any way prejudge the future status of East Jerusalem and the future of a Palestinian capital there, as well as other things. So I think the Palestinians would be well served to sit down at the table, find out what is in the plan of the century. If it's not acceptable, say why it's not acceptable. Okay. But if it's close, sit down, negotiate, and get to a final agreement.
All right. Saad Nim, 30 seconds, please.
Right. I'm not going to answer to that. I'm not going there anymore. I would like to say that the Palestinian people have the right not only to resist this occupation, it's not only their right, they have to. It's their obligation to resist this occupation. We have two experiences here. Not only the popular resistance that is on the ground now in Gaza and in the West Bank, also the experience in South Lebanon. Now Hezbollah is making a new red lines for Israel not to attack Lebanon or to cross the line because of their power. The same happened now in Gaza. Gaza now is also making lines, red lines for Israel not to exceed those lines, and they know the consequences.
Okay.
So resistance do pay back for the Palestinians.
All right, I have to jump in. Sorry, we're out of time. Let me thank our guests who joined us in this debate, founder of American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who joins from Washington, D.C., and also professor of political science with Birzeit University, Saad Nim, who joined us from Ramallah. Thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.